If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches presents the 2015 Pastors and Preachers Weekend Workshop. This two-day event intends to equip preachers to deliver clear, effective, and expository sermons to their listeners. This year's presenters are Bishop Keith W. Reed Sr. of Sharon Baptist Church, Pastor Clement Lupton of Beloved St. John's Evangelistic Church, Dr. R. Todd Mangum, Academic Dean of Biblical Theological Seminary, and Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. Topics include the discipline of preaching, preaching Christ in the Old Testament, and preaching in the Black Church. The Pastors and Preachers Weekend Workshop will be held on Friday, July 17th and Saturday, July 18th. If you are a preacher or desire to preach the Word of God, you do not want to miss this event. Register now at eventbrite.com by typing BDIFC in the search bar or by calling 215-885-2585. Let Jesus Christ be praised.
You ever hear the term bury the hatchet? It's a colloquialism where we take that to mean that whatever differences we've had, we're going to bury the hatchet. And that means if someone says that, that whatever problem we had, we're going to end it. But God said something to me. He says, you tell my people, don't bury the hatchet, but cut the handle off. He said, because if you leave the handle on it, you can come by and pick it back up again. He said, burying the hatchet from that colloquial perspective is forgiveness. Cutting the handle off is love. And love is saying, no matter what you've done, this situation is over. And my love for you and our love for each other will cause me to ignore the opportunity to resurrect the painful situation. That, my brothers and sisters, is the short definition of forgive and forget. You don't possess the capability emotionally, psychologically, and mentally to forget the action. But love, the Bible says, covers the multitude of faults. So I didn't want to teach that. So I asked God for a little bit of help. Give me a break. And he did. He said, teach this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The text will be verses 1 through 10. Paul is responding to his critics. In 2 Corinthians, Paul does a lot of responding. It appears that in 1 Corinthians, he comes across so apostolic in his behavior that the people were getting a little frustrated with his corrections. He has basically insulted their inability to become mature. So he says, I wanted to give you meatier things, but because you were so immature, I had to constantly give you those milk doctrinal issues of gifts of the Spirit, prophecy, the second coming of Christ, all of those things that you consider to be deep. He says they really are insignificant because they don't speak to the essence of Christianity. Christianity is not perfected through gifts. And so he's trying to get the Corinthians to understand that we don't seek gifts. We're not trying to fill our lives with gifts. He deals with the immoral behavior of a young man who has found it necessary to become incestuously involved with his stepmother. The reason that we know it's his stepmother is Paul does not address him as his mother, he said, but as his father's wife. And so had it been his mother, he would have just said his mother, because that would have been the honorable thing to do. And then he has this young man excommunicated, disfellowshipped, if you will. Put him out if he doesn't want to do what is right. And then apparently the young man does have a change of heart, and Paul says, now welcome him so Satan doesn't destroy him. Apparently that disfellowshipping has helped him to see his place in the body and make him realize that I can't live as some nomad. I can't adopt a bohemian lifestyle. A bohemian lifestyle is a lifestyle without discipline, without boundaries, and without maturity. You kind of just do whatever you want to do without understanding that my life is intertwined with yours, and I do things that may affect you rather positively or negatively. I live this life like a 70s hippie. I just go around and just enjoy and don't think of my responsibilities. And so Paul says, you know, you're not to live in that fashion. You are parts of one another. You care for one another. And he ends 1 Corinthians. It's not really the end of the letter, but it's the end of the theory when he gets to 1 Corinthians 13 and he embellishes on love. And he comes to the end of that and said, now abideth faith, hope, and love. These are the three that are with you, but the greatest of these is love. And then the rest of the book just kind of migrates into some doctrinal house cleaning. Apparently, this letter has had an effect on the Corinthians. There are about 750,000 people in the metropolis area that we call Corinth. And these people are constantly moving. They aren't residents, but they're moving through the area because it's like New York or Los Angeles. It's a major city, a major thoroughfare. And everything that's going to happen in that Greek area is going to come through Corinth. Corinth had the reputation of being morally one of the worst cities in that area. And in fact, that when people would engage in sexual immorality, it was called to Corinthianize. And they had become such an ungodly city. In fact, their major temple of worship was populated by 1,000 prostitutes. And they would just be on those steps every day, and people would come in, and on their way to worship the goddess Athena, they would stop by and pick up a prostitute on the way out. And so this was something that Paul was constantly trying to deal with, this behavioral issue. The morals of Corinth had become so ungodly that they were even throwing their spouses out just to get somebody else. And Paul said, look, you can't be doing this. You can't just throw your spouse out because the two of you don't get along anymore. He said, if the unbeliever, even the Christians, had become caught up in it, and they said, well, I'm a believer and I'm not supposed to be with some unbeliever. So Paul said, if the unbeliever wants to stay with you, let him stay. But if they go, let them go. Amen. How many of you have somebody that you want to go today? And so we get through 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is hard. It's hard as he deals with character. He deals with the place in the body. He tries to remove arrogance and a disproportionate view of your Christian experiences. He tries to give you this mindset that you are responsible one to another. He says, we are all parts of the body of Christ. And just like I have a little toe, even though I may bring a little gift to the body, I'm not insignificant. He's really trying to help them, but for some reason, they can't grasp it. Why? Because Judaizers come in behind Paul and they try to promote what is not of grace. And so Paul now, after he's finished 1 Corinthians, he writes in 2 Corinthians, and he starts out, when you read 2 Corinthians, he tells the people that they must give comfort to those who are in need of comfort. And he says to do it with the same comfort that you received when you were going through. What a charge. In the Greek, he uses the verb parakleo, and he uses it in three different parsings. He uses it in the direct present sense. He says, you that need paraclete, you need help, you need comfort, you should render this help, future tense, with the same past tense, paraclesis, that you receive. And so now he begins to weave together the wonderful work of the body, that everything that we go through, everything that our Lord has us to experience, is for the divine purpose of being able to help someone else when they are going through. Why? So that we do not exist in a vacuum of selfishness and independent living. We are literally parts of one another, caring for the needs of each other. In fact, we find one of Paul's greatest phrases in the New Testament is one anothering. And so when Paul teaches these doctrines, at some point, there are always going to be people who go against the leader of God. The spirit of Korah has been in the world long before you and I were even born. It's even in the Bible in different shapes and forms. It's called the Absalom spirit, where Absalom stands at the gate and says, David doesn't have time for you. Pastor Lambert doesn't have time for you. Come on over to my Bible study and I'll help you. That Absalom spirit is still alive in the world today. That spirit started with Korah, who challenged Moses and said, you take too much upon yourself. You're not the only one holy. God made us holy. We're God's people as well. And God stood up and fought for his servant Moses. And Moses said, look here. He said, I am a man of God. And if I'm not a man of God, these people are going to die a normal death. But if I am a man of God, he said, then God's going to do a new thing and cause the ground to open up. And 274 men fell and went to hell alive. And so this mindset was in Corinth at the time, just come against Paul. And Paul was no longer the vicious Pharisee of the first part of Acts. He was now a converted Christian, and it appeared that his kindness was going to be taken for weakness. And they did not count on Paul's response. And so as we migrate through the book of 2 Corinthians, we are here at the 12th chapter. But when you get home, you read from chapters 1 through 12, and you see Paul has really had enough. They didn't want to give him any financial support anymore because they had begun to realize, like most modern people, that the preacher should always be kept impoverished. And that the preacher, the servant of God, should not be able to live a life of normalcy. That they should suffer. They should always beg. That they should always have their hand out and be in a state of dependence from the very people that they lead. So Paul said, you know what? I have every right to take a wife. There's nothing funny about me. I just choose not to be married because I want to stay focused on my ministry. Don't get the wrong idea about me, he says. And I don't need your money. I can work. Paul was by trade a tent maker. In fact, in Jewish history, we are taught that every male child has to have a trade before he goes and becomes anything else so that he can fall back on it when things don't go well in his life. And so Paul writes 2 Corinthians and he tries to talk with them and he tries to get them to understand the fullness of his apostolic calling. See, we enter into the relationship of pastor parishioner, but we don't understand the responsibility of the pastor. You must realize that the pastor cannot do what you want them to do and call themselves led of God. If the pastor gives in to the capricious desires of the parishioner, then he is no longer led by God, and his doctrinal preaching will change so that he doesn't offend large givers. But you serve a God who said, I will give you pastors after my heart, not after your pocketbook. When a pastor loses the connection to God to win the hearts of the people, they violate the basic tenet of the pastor-parishioner relationship. You come to Bethel to hear from God. You've got to learn to release me so I can spend time with God to bring you his heart. Whether you like it or not, you know it's from God.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number 05415P. Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news. Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Praise it.